Thank you. Good day, friends. We come to you again. Again, I say it's a real joy for me to talk to you, dear people, share with you the wonderful things in the Word of God, to share with you something of the beauty and the glory of our Savior, of His tremendous love for you and me. The human language is incapable of expressing the love of God for men and women. I wish in some way I could present to you something of His matchless love, which caused Him to send the Lord Jesus into this world to die for you and me. He sent His Son. He came into the human race, and if I want to know what God is like, I must look at Jesus. Some of you will disagree with that. But my friend, rule out Jesus Christ. Tell me, what revelation of God do you have? You see in creation? No, you see His handiwork. You see His power in creation. But what is He like? What interest does He have in you and me? And apart from revelation, man has no knowledge of God personally. You read the history of the world. You take the great histories of men and women, of nations and so on. Whatever they have turned their back on the living God, what have you got? Sin, rebellion, lawlessness, moral corruption. And they've faded off the scene. In our present generation, with all its knowledge of science, electronics and so on, putting men on the moon, reaching out into the stars and everything else, this generation will perish too, because it's turning its back on the living God. We're living in a generation where there's a boldness about men who would dethrone God. They would make God like a man, and then they would take man and exalt him to God. This is humanistic philosophy, where man himself is his own God, because man is different to every other creature, with the power and with tremendous mental energy to invent things, to do things, why the things that you and I are very commonly acquainted with today. 100 years ago, they would have said no such thing is possible. Man has come a tremendous way, but the tragedy is they've turned their back on God. So when you come to the 4th chapter of 1 John, where we have fellowship with God who is love, He starts out first of all by asking us to test the spirits, test these teachers, test their doctrines, see what they're like. I'm going to read again these first 6 verses of the 4th chapter of 1 John. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard it should come, and even now already is it in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore, speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That's very, very clear. In the first 4 verses, we have the test of His person. When you come to verses 5 to 6, you got the test of His witnesses. So we'll know. Again, I come back. Now, I don't mind repeating it, because we're faced daily with these questions of who was right and who was wrong. What preacher is right? What philosopher is right? And who are wrong? What is the foundation for truth? You see, you can argue until you're black in the face with somebody, but if you got no common ground of discussion, You don't get anywhere. I have had men come to me and try to put me right. I said, very well, if I'm wrong, bring your Bible. Let's take the Bible and see what the Bible says. The Bible is the ground upon which we must discuss truth. And Jesus Christ said, I am the truth. He's not only love personified, but he's truth personified. I'm talking about real truth. That's eternal. That's complete. As Colossians 2 says, God has hidden in him all his treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. And he that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist. Then he encourages us in verse 4, you, believers in Christ, you who believe in the incarnate word, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. This is where we were closing our last lesson. The guarantee of victory, or should I change the wording, the guarantee of deliverance from the powers of the enemy. He, Jesus, gets the victory. We enjoy the deliverance. That's what Paul means when he comes to Romans 8. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Or in Philippians 4:19, I can do all things through Christ. Verse 13, pardon me. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. Or verse 19, my God shall supply all your need, all your need, all your need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And if Christ is not what he claimed to be, then we haven't anything. Now, in verses 5 to 6, we have the test of the witnesses. Not only of the message, but the messenger. Now mark this. Sometimes a person would come along and we won't agree with his message. But for some reason, we're taking the messenger. You know, Brother Mitchell, we've got to manifest love to these who would destroy your faith, to these who would lead you astray. I'm well aware we should manifest love, but love never violates truth. And if they come with another doctrine, says Paul in Galatians 1, he's under the curse of God. If we are an angel from heaven, notice it, an angel from heaven were to bring any other doctrine, any other gospel than we have declared unto you, let him be cursed. Strong words, I tell you. Strong words. But when I think of the fact that men are dabbling in souls today, trafficking in souls like they did in Jeremiah's day, in Ezekiel's day, and the judgment of God came upon them. Do you think that we shall escape the judgment of God today? If men are really seeking to turn people away from the precious Son of God and his precious word, that's the spirit of Antichrist. Now look in verse 5. John writes, they belong to the world. They speak of the world. The world heareth them. Now, they can be scholars, they can be philosophers, they can be members of the elite, if you please. But if they do not bring this doctrine concerning the person of the Savior, they belong to the world, they're of the world, and may I tell you, my friend, the world is a passing thing. Do you remember we had that in chapter 2, where Paul is encouraging the young men not to love the world? Why? Because the things of the world are going to pass. The world in its lust will pass away. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. They are of the world. They speak of the world. The world hears them. We are of God. Verse 6. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. That's right. You know, it wouldn't be the first time. I had a young lady say to me one time, she came in to see me. She said, Mr. Mitchell, I've been in your meetings. I said, yes, I've seen you down there with a certain gentleman. Young man, I said, yes. She said, he's a Christian. He works in my office. And I'm very fond of him. So he asked me if I'd like to have a date with him. But he said, if you go with me, he said, I'll take you to church. Now, she said, I would rather have gone to a dance or gone to a show with them. But I wanted to be them, so I went to church. And I was bored to death. Well, I said, thanks for your frankness. I can understand that. I can understand that. There was a time when I would have been bored to death, too. But what are you here to see me about? He said, Mr. Mitchell, I want to get saved. All week long, I've hardly slept. Some word of God had gotten into her heart, into her conscience, to her mind. I had the joy of leading her to the Savior. And when she got off her knees, thanking the Lord for her salvation, the tears were running down her cheeks, and she said, please, please, Mr. Mitchell, don't feel badly about my tears. These are tears of joy. I know now I will never again see my sins, so the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed me from sin. But before that, it was a bore to her. The world hears its own. You don't find the world dashing into churches to hear somebody preach the word of God unless God has spoken to their heart, or somebody has witnessed to them, or somebody has brought them in. John says, we are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Or putting it in other words, you see, the man of the world, the teacher of the world, the source of his teaching is in the world. And remember, Satan is its prince and its God. The world loves his own, the world speaks of his own, and the world exalts man instead of God. That's very obvious. What about the witnesses of Christ? Well, the Spirit of God has come to make Christ known to us. The Spirit of God will not speak of himself. He will take the things of mine, said Jesus, and reveal them unto you, you see. And we become the mouthpieces of God. As I said a while ago, the person of Christ is the test of divine truth. And hence, we enjoy the fellowship of those who love him. I just love to be with Christians. Even failing Christians, if they love the Savior, just love to be with them. Love to pray with them. I like their fellowship. Why? We belong to the same Savior. Now, I may go into some place where there's a group of world men of the world. Go to a hotel, have a meeting. Different atmosphere. I don't belong. I just don't belong. See? It's very obvious. When a person loves the Savior, he will seek his own. Hence the fellowship and the joy being with God's people. And we become the mouthpieces of God. We speak for God. And those that heareth us are of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Our Lord could say in Luke 24:48, you are witnesses of these things. What things? Of his suffering, death, and resurrection. He left us to be witnesses. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, the Spirit of God will come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. See, we're God's fellow workers. 1 Corinthians 3, 9, we are workers together with God. We're on God's team. And when we speak, people of God hear us. People of the world won't hear us unless the Spirit of God moves upon them. 2 plus 2 make 4. Again, we come down to the fact, test the spirits, whether of God or whether they be of Christ or of man. You know, I couldn't help but think of that verse in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. You remember Paul had been down Thessalonica, and he proved and alleged from the Scriptures that Christ must first suffer, and then be raised from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is the Christ. Now he left Thessalonica, went out to Berea. He got chased out of Thessalonica. Persecution came, and he moved on. And he didn't want to bring more persecution to the young Christians there who had come out of idolatry and come to know the Savior. So he left and he went on down to Deberea. And he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he preached, I take it, the same message. He proved and alleged that Christ must first suffer and be raised from the dead, and this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And I read this. The Jews in Berea were more noble than the Jews in Thessalonica in that they searched the scriptures daily to see if Paul was telling the truth. Do you mean to tell me, sir, that when the Apostle Paul went to the synagogue, they questioned him? They took the Old Testament to see if Paul was telling the truth? Yes, yes, even the Apostle Paul. And he called them noble. What's the sign of nobility? To search the scriptures to see what you hear is the truth. And my friend, if the man whom you hear, wherever it may be, he was afraid to go to the Word of God to prove what he teaches, then there must be something wrong with his doctrine. I don't want you to take what I say. I want you to take the Word of God. Remember the 138th Psalm, the second verse. The King James Version says, Thou hast exalted thy word above all thy name. If I may give the revised of that, Thou hast underwritten every word by thy name. God is behind every word. Jesus said, Not one jot or one tittle will pass away till all be fulfilled. When God speaks, he means what he says. Every word of it. You see, it's not the church that's the standard of truth. It's the person of Christ revealing the word. That's why I plead with God's people to get down to business and get to know the word of truth. To compare spiritual with spiritual. That's what you have in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Do you remember? Compare spiritual with spiritual. Scripture with scripture. Just don't take one verse and build a doctrine on it. Take the whole revealed will of God on that truth. Where it starts and where it finishes. Go right through your Bible on it. I'll tell you very bluntly, some of the things you and I may believe today, we may change as we gather through the scriptures what it has to say about that truth. But the heart of it, the center of it, is the person of Christ. This is what he's after. Prove that these teachers who come, what place do they give Christ? And what place do they give Christ in their witness? If they're of God, we'll hear them. If they're not of God and of the world, then the world will hear them. And how often people have told me, and I'm very frank to confess it. They say, Mitchell, I don't want to listen to you. What would you rather listen to? They belong to the world. They were not Christians. And truth, spiritual truth, only comes through revelation to the open heart, to the open mind. Like our Lord said to Peter, Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father who was in heaven. Say, revelation comes to the open heart. If my heart is closed, the Spirit of God will not reveal it. If I really want to know him, if I really want to know the truth, the Spirit of God is here to lead us and to guide us into all truth. You see, a man said to me one time after a meeting, Mitchell, you and I are following the same thing. You are searching for the truth and I'm searching for the truth. And I said, pardon me, friend, I'm not searching for the truth. And if you mean business, your search has come to an end. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the truth. He's truth personified. God has hidden in Christ all his treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. I said, if you mean business, you want to know the truth, your search has come to an end. Jesus Christ is the truth. Well, you're not so narrow to believe it. You're the only one's got the truth, are you? Every Christian has the truth, the Word of God. I may not know all about the truth. That's a different proposition. Thank God we can search daily line upon line and precept upon precept, says Isaiah 28. Here a little and there a little, and we grow. And as we grow in the Word of God, we begin to grow in truth. I'm just going to stop there today. I plan to go further on, but I just feel like emphasizing this fact because there are many false teachers and prophets who have gone out into the world. As Peter could say in chapter 2 of the second epistle, there were false prophets among the people. There shall be false teachers among you, bringing in damnable heresies. Paul wrote to Timothy to warn him against these who have knowledge without the Spirit of God. Our Savior warned us, talks about the wheat and the tares. Let them both grow till the harvest. There's the true and there's the false. May God grant to you and to me the joy, the blessing of knowing Him whom to know is life eternal. Christian friend, may I urge upon you to get into your Bible. False teachers are going to come. How are you going to know? How can you discern whether they're right or wrong, except by the Word of God? So I would plead with your heart to get into the Word of God and know Him in a very precious way, so you'll be able to say, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He will guard that which I have committed unto Him against that day. He's able to guard the deposit until that day. Now the Lord bless you, and please keep on reading the Epistle of John. And write us a wee word, will you? And the Lord bless you for His name's sake.